Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, you can be turning to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. We'd like to say thank you for the offering. I do appreciate the opportunity to preach. Always love Brother Collins, love the highway, the church here. And I hope I can say something that'll help you tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We'll start reading verse number 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Said, and the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood and defended it. If you would, one more time, lift your hands. Let's ask God to help us tonight.
Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. God, I praise you. Lord, I ask for your help tonight. God, your anointing, Lord. I pray that you would help us, God. Have your way tonight. Let your will be done, God, and we'll keep the praise. We can't do it without you. In Jesus' name.
Everybody says, amen. When I come in tonight, the Lord began to deal with me on these scriptures. Read across this here a while back. On Shammah. And we don't read a whole lot about Shammah in the Bible. And I'm not for sure. I believe this is the only place, or there's just one more place, where this man Shammah is mentioned. But here Shammah is on this piece of ground full of lentils. Lentils is just beans. The Philistines was gathered together into a troop, and they come to take this field of beans from them. And everybody around Shammah began to run. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. You ever seen a time when everybody was running, seemed like? Throwing their hands up and quitting? Well, that's what everybody was doing around Shammah. It said, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. I was thinking just a little bit ago about a story. It's kind of humorous, but I want to tell it before I get started here tonight. And I want to preach to you the Lord to help me on willing to fight. This little boy, I heard the story of this little boy that went to school and they sold ice cream for a quarter. Every morning before he'd go to school, his mom would give him a quarter and say, this is for your ice cream today. He'd go to school, and when he got to school, there was a bully there. And that bully every day would go around to certain young boys that were smaller than him, and he'd take their quarters. If you don't give me your quarter, I'm going to whip you. I'm going to beat you up. And so the boys would give that bully their quarters. Day after day, this happened, and this young boy every day would give his quarter away. One morning, his mom gave him his quarter, and he put it in his pocket, and on the way to school, stuck his hand in his pocket, and he's feeling that quarter. And he got to thinking about those ice creams that he's seen the other young people with, and he's seen that bully eating that ice cream and knew that it was with his quarter he was buying that ice cream. He made his mind up on the way to school what he'd do, so he got to school, and that bully come out, and that bully said, all right, give me your quarter, I'm going to whip you. And that young boy reached into his pocket like he did every day, but this time, instead of pulling that quarter out, he just brought his fist out and he said, I've made my mind up. I'm willing to fight for what's mine. And he fought with that bully for a little while, and the story goes, the bully was whooping him at first, but before long, that little boy, quicker than him, began to whip that bully. And in front of that whole crowd at school that day, he whipped that bully, and that bully never took anybody else's quarter. And I told you that story just to tell you that sometimes there needs to be just one that'll stand up and say, I'm willing to fight. If that young boy hadn't have been able to stand up or been willing to stand up and say, all right, I'm not going to take it any longer. Every day for the rest of that school year and probably from then on, that bully would have come and took their quarters. But there was one young man that said, all right, I've got something in my pocket and he wants it, but I'm willing to fight for what's mine. And church, I want to preach to you a little while tonight if God would help me on willing to fight. I believe that salvation is something worth fighting for. I believe what we've got from God is worth defending. And the devil, he's a bully, and he loves to come to every one of us and tell us that we cannot make it, that we cannot stand, that we cannot fight, and that we cannot overcome. But I want you to know, if we are willing to fight, if we're willing to go out in the battle, if we're willing to roll our sleeves up and say, come what may, but I'm willing to go out to war, I want you to know it don't matter what the world brings against us. It does not matter what hell has to bring against us. If we're willing to fight, we can overcome. And here it said that Shammah, they was there defending this field of beans. And as he stood there, these people fled from the Philistines. And I read in history somewhere, it talked about this occasion here. It was not only just one time, but year after year after year. Every time Shammah's people would go and they had harvest, they had work, and they had labor, and they would till the ground, and they would plant, and they'd water it, and they'd watch it. Whenever harvest time would come, and they would go out and harvest these beans every year. At the same time, them Philistines would come around, and they would go and they would take the beans from these people. Although they had not labored, although they had not worked, the Philistines every year, year after year, would take the beans from these people, and they would go home empty-handed. And I can imagine Shammah here as he's looking here. These Philistines are coming, and all the people around him are beginning to flee, and they're beginning to leave. And Shammah's standing there as he's holding that hoe, and as he's looking at the Philistines, and then he looks at his people, and he looks back, and in his mind, Shammah's probably thinking back to those mornings before daylight when he'd get out of bed, and his dad would wake him up, and they'd go out and they'd do the chores, and mama would fix breakfast, and they'd eat. And then they'd go down their way towards that field. And they'd get ready to go to work that day. Now he'd think about the mornings he had learned to sleep in. But he remembered he had to go and work. But there was a payday coming for it. And as he stood there and everybody around began to run, Shammah thought about those days out in the sun when the sweat would begin to drip. All that labor that he'd put in. All that hard work that he had put in. Hour after hour. Day after day, Shammah worked, Shammah labored. And as he saw everybody running and the Philistines coming, I believe in the mind of Shammah, he was saying, this is worth fighting for. This is worth defending. And you know, there are a lot of people today that have backslid. There's a lot of people that have left our churches. Whenever some trouble would come by, instead of sticking out the battle, they want to pull up stakes and they want to go somewhere else down the road. They want to find somewhere else to go to church, somewhere else to go to. But friend, anywhere you go, there's going to be a battle. It does not matter. But there comes a time when you got to be willing to fight. When you got to be willing to stand your ground and say, devil, come at me with all you got, but I'm not leaving. I'm not going nowhere. I may have to die, but I'm willing to fight, and I'm willing to die if it takes death to stand my ground. He was willing to fight. There are different men in the Bible that were willing to fight. Here in verse number 12, in the last part of that verse, the Bible said, and the Lord wrought a great victory.
You want to know why God brought a great victory? It was because Shammah was willing to fight. You want to know why God gave deliverance to Shammah's people? Because one man was willing to stand up and fight. You say, I'm just one person. I'm nobody. I can't do much. You know God's not looking for somebody that is real great, real popular. No. God's looking for a vessel that's yielding. God's looking for a church that's willing to say, I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to stand. I'm willing to go to battle. I'm willing to go to war. I'm willing to fight. And all through God's Word, you'll find men willing to fight. We love to teach our children about David, the story of David's life. We love to take them down into Sunday school, tell them about the bear, tell them about how that David went out and he fought that bear. He saw the sheep. He saw the bear. And he thought, well, these are worth fighting for. My dad put them in my care and they'll be destroyed if I don't fight. And he was willing to fight. And he went out and battled against that bear. He went out also and battled against the lion. He is willing to fight. No man on his own could fight a bear and win. No man on his own could fight a lion and win. No, God brought the victory. But at first, David had to be willing to fight. In church, sometimes we look at things and we say, I'm not big enough to fight against that. I'm not strong enough to overcome that. I'm nobody. What can I do? But God's not looking for someone big. He's just looking for someone that's willing to fight and say, God, I'll do what you want me to. I'm willing to fight.
Willing to fight. There's some things worth fighting for. And there's some things you've got that I probably wouldn't fight for. And there's some things I've got that you probably wouldn't fight for. But there's some things if you try taking them away from me, then you might get yourself in a fight. You try taking my family, you try harming my family, you might have a fight on your hands. And there's some things worth fighting for. And there's some things in our spiritual walk that are worth fighting for. This community around here, church, is it worth fighting for? I believe it is. Lost loved ones, are they worth fighting for? I believe they're worth fighting for. This church, is it worth fighting for? I believe you'd say yes. It's worth fighting for. And I want you to know if you'll put forth that effort and cry out and say, God, I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to stand up in the midst. Those others are falling out. Others are running away. God, I'm willing to fight. Willing to do battle. David was willing to do battle. Shammah was willing to do battle. And David fought Goliath. He's willing to do battle. And then we read about Samson. Slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. He's willing to fight. And whenever Samson did something miraculous, it was because the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him. Because that last time when he shook himself, he wished not that the Spirit had departed from him. Every time he done something miraculous, they show us pictures of Samson, big and muscled up and muscle bound man. I believe myself that Samson was just an ordinary man. But when the power of God got on him, he could do mighty things. Hey friend, you don't have to be supernatural. God's looking for an ordinary man that it can place his power on and place his spirit on and do mighty things. It wouldn't have been very mighty if Samson had been 9 feet tall and been able to bench press 10,000 pounds to do some of the things he done. No, but he is an ordinary man. But when God's power got on him and God's spirit got on him and he is willing to fight, God wrote great victories through Samson. And we're no different. You and I, we're no different. You know, sometimes I pray. The devil's fighting me with my voice. But sometimes I pray and I thank God I can never make it to what some men are. I can never make it to what Brother Ben Shaw is. I can never make it to what greater man Brother Collins is.
and Brother Miller, different ones, name them off. Brother Webb, name them off. I can't never make it to that. But then I'm reminded God's not looking for someone that's great. Nobody started out on top. Everybody started out on bottom. God's just looking for someone that'll say, God, I'm not afraid, Lord, to do your will. Preach your word. Live your life. God, I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to go against the devil. I'm willing to go out and battle on him war. And friend, you're willing to fight. Not to look down and gotta see that. And gotta say, I can use that person because they're willing to fight. Samson, willing to fight, slew a lion, young lion with his bare hands. He's willing to fight, willing to battle. And all these battles that I've talked to you about so far, they've been physical battles. They've been battles to do with flesh, with muscle, with strength, and hand-to-hand bloodshed. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battlefield may not be with a sword. It may not be with a machine gun. Our battlefield is prayer. And you know, there's so many people today that are leaving the battlefield. They forgot how to pray. They forgot how to bend the knee. But I want call out to you tonight at the highway and say, hey, we need somebody that's willing to fight. Somebody that when the battle gets hot, they're willing to bend their knee in prayer and cry out and say, oh God, I need you. Oh God, move for us. We need your power. We need somebody that's willing to fight. Somebody that's willing to go in the battle.
Because there's a devil that would love to destroy this church. He'd love to destroy our holiness movement. He'd love to destroy my family. He'd love to destroy your family. And he's doing his dead level best to do it. He's trying to destroy families. You hear every day of different ones that one time walked among us and sat in our pews that have fallen. You hear about it all the time. Preachers that at one time had preached that have fallen. You know what it is? It's not that the devil's greater than the power of God. It's that somewhere along the line they left the battlefield. They wasn't to spend hours in prayer. They wasn't willing to spend hours in prayer at night, down on their knees, bowing and fighting. But friend, I want you to know, you can stand if you're willing to fight. Willing to fight. The other night I laid down and went to sleep. And I had a dream. And I dreamed that my family and myself went somewhere. Parked the truck. We got out of the truck. We went in, visited, whatever we was doing. May have been church. I don't remember where we was at. But when we left where we was at and started going back out to get in the truck, when we got to the truck, my family started to get in. And when they started to get in, I seen snakes crawling all inside my truck. In every crack, in every hole, there were snakes, big snakes, crawling everywhere. I mean, the truck was full of it, not the seat. You could get in. It was even like my family didn't even see the snakes. And they was fixing to crawl in the truck. And I ran and I grabbed my family and I pulled them back away, pulled them away from the truck. And I opened one door and I went up to the truck with that door open. And when one snake would crawl out close to the edge, I'd grab that one snake. And in my dream, I'd take and I'd wrestle and I'd fight until I killed that snake. And then I'd go back to the truck and I'd grab another snake and I'd go back and fight some more. And I'd finally kill that snake. And one by one, I wrestled with all them snakes until I killed everyone. And I woke up startled about that dream. And the Lord spoke to me and said, there are things out in this world that if you're not willing to fight them, if you're not willing to kill them, they will kill your family. They will kill your friends. They will kill the holiness movement if there's not someone that's willing to stand up and someone that's saying, I'm willing to fight. I'm willing, thank you, brother. Willing to do battle. And you know, it's no different with you tonight.
No different with anybody here. You got to be willing to fight. I believe that right now in these last days, that the devil is fighting our churches more than he has ever fought us before. He is fighting our family units more than he has ever fought us before. And sin seems like creeping into churches. There's some churches that I've been to that they don't live exactly what they did the year before when I was there. I hadn't been evangelizing but almost 3 years now. But I can tell in them short 3 years, year after year when I go back, that they're not exactly the same. They're letting up just a little bit. And you know what my cry is? Come on, let's fight. Let's fight against worldliness. Let's fight against the flesh. Let's fight against hell. Let's fight against the devil. You got to be willing to fight. I'm willing to fight. Is there anybody else here that's willing to go out in a battle? You're willing to fight. Why don't you lift your hands and say, God, use me. God, I'm willing to fight. I believe the Lord's looking for somebody in this last day that's able to say, God, I'll fight. God, I'll do battle. You. Use me. God, I'll fight. It would have been easy for Shannon to turn around and run. All the other people did. As far as we know in the Bible, he was the only one that stood up. Everybody else left. But that one man made the difference. One man set the tone. One man changed the tide. And you know what God's looking for? He's looking for one man, one woman that'll be willing to get down on their knees in prayer and that'll fight the devil. You know, prayer is almost a lost art. It seems like anywhere you go, the only time some people pray is in the altar services after the preaching, and they just pray then because that's what you're supposed to do. There's people nowadays that don't have prayer lives, that never go to God's house and pray, that never find the cause of the prayer and kneel down and pray. But friend, we're in the last days. We're fighting more spirits now than we've ever fought before. And it's going to take people that are willing to get out on their knees and that are willing to fight and battle in prayer. It's not easy to pray. It's a war to pray. It's a battle to pray. The devil hates the church that prays. The devil's not scared to walk into some of our churches and sit down on some of our pews and go to service because there's so many that don't pray. But you know what the devil's scared of? He's scared of a church that prays. He's scared. You know why folks don't get saved in every revival? It's because there's not enough prayer going up. They're not praying hard enough. You're not fasting. You're not seeking God's face. That's why that there's not many saved in some revivals, because the devil's sitting on the pews talking to people, talking in their ears, having people's minds wander, thinking about things that happened during the day, and their mind not on the service and not on God. And there's people that come to our churches and sit on our pews that are carnally minded because they never spend time in prayer to God. But you get a church that's on fire. You get a church that kneels down and prays, has chained prayer and fasting, and sees God's face. When they get in a revival, you know what happens? Souls are saved. Lives are changed. And that's because the devil's scared of him. And the devil runs. Hey, you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You fight against the devil in the name of Jesus Christ, he'll run. But it's going to take a fight. Someone willing to fight. Someone willing to do battle. And I would like to tell you tonight, we need someone that'll fight. Oh, I want to be a warrior. You know, there's people that have been to some churches. One in particular I think of, there's a lady there. She don't look like much, her grandma, in the church. You looked at her through your regular eyes, you just see a grandma walk in and sit down on the pew. And I believe if you could see her through spiritual eyes, she's a praying woman, you'd see a warrior dressed in clothes of war with a sword flaming out. Hey church, I want you to know you can be a warrior for God. All it takes is to put some time in and say, oh God, use me. So many times we want to look at those that are great things for God and say, why can I have that? But yet we're not willing to spend time in prayer and go to battle on our knees and fight to get to where they're at. They had to fight to get there. They had to do battle to get there. Every one of us would love to hear from God like Brother Russell McDonald and call people out and tell them what he's seen. But who's willing to go into prayer and battle like Brother Russell does and spend hours a day praying? I'd love to come up to you and tell you that the Lord's been talking to me and tell you right where you're at like Brother Shaw does. But it's going to take spending about 3 or 4 hours a day in prayer like Brother Shaw does to get that. Hey, we're needing a church. We're needing a new generation that's willing to fight, willing to do war and go to battle, willing to pray. It's been said many times, what one generation does in moderation, the next generation does in excess. You let a little bit of jewelry slip in on one generation, this is just illustration. You let a little bit of jewelry slip in, the next generation will be 3 times as bad as the first generation was. And we see it a lot in our holiness churches moving in. Everywhere I go, I see it. Some of it a little by little moving in. And you know what? The next generation is going to be twice as bad. But you know what happened? There is some in this generation that have lost their desire to pray and lost their burden to pray, and they don't pray near like the generation before. In this generation that's coming up right now, my God, what's going to happen to our churches when this next generation comes up? If they look and they see the generation before wasn't really bowing in prayer, what are they going to be like? Some of them may never bow their knees in prayer, and we're going to have men that's carnal running our services, and people that's carnal leading our singing, people that never pray directing our young people. And church, I want you to know, I don't want the holiness movement to go like other movements have. I want us to have a holiness church. I want us to have a people that's willing to fight. Fight in prayer. I don't want to lose this next generation. You know, the only thing holding our next generation is this generation right now. You know what it takes for your grandchildren to be lost, your grandparents here? All it would take was one generation let your children be lost, and your grandchildren wouldn't know how to bow a knee in prayer. All it takes is one generation, and we see it slipping in so slow. I've told the illustration many times about that snake over in Africa, and when a person would lay out on the ground, and that snake would root out from underneath that person and wrap around that person 2 or 3 times. And as that person would sleep, every time he'd exhale, that snake would get a little bit tighter. Not real fast, but just real slow. Every time his body would shrink when he'd exhale, a little tighter. Not enough to wake him, but just enough to be tighter. Time and time again, until finally that person, while they was asleep, thinking they was getting rest, would begin to lose strength. And they'd get very weak. And when that snake would realize they was at their weakest point, he'd tighten up on them. They'd wake up, but it'd be too late. And friend, that's what's happening to our churches. And there's such lack of prayer that the devil, the serpent, he's come in and wrapped himself around our churches. And ever so slowly, he's beginning to tighten down and get a little tighter and a little tighter. And something little move in here and something little move in over there. We think, oh, that ain't much. And we let it go. And before long, our movement's going to be no different than anybody else. They're going to point a finger at us, and we're going to be another illustration. If we don't wake up and realize we've got to be willing to fight. God, make me a Shammah. God, make me a David. Make me a Samson. I want to be someone that's willing to fight. Someone that's willing to battle. Problem is, people just don't want to pay the price. You know, it is a great price to pay. But if I can save this next generation, I'm willing to pay it. If I can save my children, if I don't save my boy and my girl, who will? You won't. Other people across the country won't. They're my responsibility. If you don't save your children, who will? If you don't save this church, who will? If we don't save this movement, who will? Church, I felt like telling you tonight, we got to be willing to fight. I want to be willing to fight.
Or someone would come to the piano, please. Someone would come to sing. I felt like I've talked to you all tonight. I felt like the devil's taking my voice away from me, but I'd love to tell you. You got to be willing to fight. Willing to fight. Willing to fight. The devil don't want you to fight. The devil don't want anybody here to be willing to fight and go out in battle. He don't like to see a warrior. No, he likes to see a weak Christian. But oh, I want to see some warriors, don't you? I want to be a warrior. I want to be able to fight and go in battle. Let everybody stand and every head's bowed. God of heaven, I ask you to move tonight in the remainder of this service. God, finish the work in each and every heart. Help us in this altar service, God. Help us to draw closer to you, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we'll give you the praise. As they begin to play, is there someone here before the whole church comes? You'd say, Brother Holden, I haven't been fighting like I need to fight. I haven't been on that battlefield of prayer like I need to be. I want to be a warrior. Would you come right now? It'd be good for you to step out, because if you're just thinking about it in your mind right now and you say, well, I'm going to go pray with everybody else, but I'm not going to step out, you might grow slack. But if you step out and make an open notice and say, devil, I'm going to do better, hey, I believe you can do it. Is there anyone else? You'd say, Brother Holden, I need to move up in prayer. I need to fight more on the battlefield. Is anybody else like to come? Some are coming. These are coming. I believe God would love to make warriors out of these that are coming. Oh, I believe this right here is the generation that's willing to fight. Oh, let's everybody come. Let's fight us some praise. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's see God. God, make me a warrior. God, make me a battleman. God, help me to go out on this battlefield. Help me to fight, God.
My commander is Almighty God, and there's no greater near or far. I may lose the battle now and then, but I've already won the war. You can have God's word into your heart.